get, and then I want to say something, then we'll get to Matthew 21. Okay. First of all, thank you all for putting this together for us today. It's humbling to receive that from you all. I want to say that we are beyond blessed to be here with you all. We would not want to be anywhere else. We love being with you all, and thank you for entrusting us with this great responsibility. We do our best to live up to it, and we learn a lot. Even over the years, it's amazing when you look back 5 years ago and think, I don't know what you were doing calling me here, because I had no idea what I was doing. But hopefully in another 5 years, I'll be able to look back and think, man, I had no idea what I was doing. Hopefully I can say that, because I've grown in another 5 years. But we appreciate all the love and support that you all express to us over and over. And we couldn't thank you enough for that. I also want to thank, is Jamie in here? Is she not? She is. Okay. I also want to acknowledge my wife, because there's no way I could do what I'm doing without her. I couldn't even begin to tell you all the things she does behind the scenes to help me and to help you all to keep things going here. It is amazing how much she does, and she's counseling people. She's not on official terms. We have to get that straight. But she is counseling as a friend people. She is constantly talking to people and helping with things so much more than people know. And I'm appreciative to have a wife that is supportive in ministry. So I always feel like there are no words that I could say to tell you how I actually feel, but I'm thankful. Just know that we love you, and we're blessed to be here with you all. Thank you. Matthew 21, we're going to jump around a lot today, because today's going to be slightly different. I'm going to talk, hopefully, my plan is to talk for maybe like 10 minutes, but we'll see how that works. And then kind of introduce some ideas of things that ways that we can move forward praying together as a congregation. And then if Mark, are you able today? Are you okay with Mark has something that he's going to bring along those lines as well later in the service. And I want to start with Matthew chapter 21, just starting in verse 12. It says, "And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, 'It is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers.'" Now, my point today isn't to talk nearly as much about what they were doing in the temple and the idea that they were cheating people out of money. That's why he said, "You are making this a den of robbers." They were selling things that the people needed. This was during the time where people were traveling a long distance for the feasts that were going to take place in Jerusalem. In that moment, they couldn't necessarily bring an animal for sacrifice with them. So it wasn't wrong that they were selling things. The problem was they knew, well, this person's kind of stuck. They've come from a long distance, and I have what they need, so I'm going to jack up the price and make them pay for it. They were cheating them out of money. That was the problem. But that's not what we're getting into today. The point is that Jesus said that the house of God would be a house of prayer. And he's referencing back to Isaiah 56 in verse 7. God said, "These I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." And what is happening there in Isaiah 56 is he's talking about the time in Jesus where all people would be invited to God's holy dwelling place, meaning into God's presence, regardless of who they are, what they've done, what they have, what they don't have, the rich and poor, every person would be invited through Jesus into the presence of God. But again, he says that my house or my dwelling place will be a house of prayer for all nations. Again, that all would be invited into this place of communion and fellowship and prayer to God. But it's significant, again, that he says my house will be a house of prayer for all nations. Now, first of all, what that tells us is that clearly defines what God's people ought to be. So many times, if you go into any Christian bookstore, you will find countless books telling you what a church ought to look like, how we should do things, and how we can get things in order so that we can grow. In all the volumes of books that have been written, God had made it very simple in a lot of places. Sometimes we make the Word of God way more complicated than it needs to be. We ask for God's will when sometimes he tells us very clearly what his will is for us. And this is one of those times. He said, "My house shall be a house of prayer." So here's the thing. We don't need a long book to tell us what we ought to look like as a church in this aspect. He said, my house will be a house of prayer. If his house is not a house of prayer, we're failing. It's as simple as that. That's what it comes down to. He told us very clearly, my house, my dwelling place, my people, the fellowship of my people will be distinguished by prayer, meaning they will grow in prayer, they will be committed to prayer, they will learn how to pray, they will sacrifice to pray, meaning that sometimes we're not going to feel like praying. We might be tired and weary, and you want to do something else, or you want to sit and do nothing. But he said, My people will be a house of prayer. My dwelling place will be a house of prayer. That means that even sometimes we sacrifice for that cause so that we can be defined by that. This is one of those times where God very clearly tells us what his people ought to look like. And this, again, is something where we recognize each individual member has to make a decision that I would be a person of prayer, that would pursue God in prayer, I would learn to pray, I would grow in that, and even that I would sacrifice for that cause. And when each individual member makes a decision to do that, that's when the collective body is defined or distinguished by prayer. Now, I believe that we would see God do amazing things if we would commit ourselves to grow in that, specifically in our congregation. We need to grow in that. And we're going to, as I said, in a few minutes, we're going to talk about some ways that you can do that. when we were in the Dominican Republic this past week, actually last Sunday, we were at the one church that we're building in February. We put a roof on that church, and we did electrical work this week. And then they'll do kind of pour concrete floor and do all that kind of stuff to finish up the building. But we actually had a service with them last Sunday in the building, even though I think the electric was kind of stolen from the neighbor, but they had it functioning at least for the service. But anyway, it's amazing when you go in there, and since I've had a relationship with these people for a while, they always want us to come sit on stage because they want to give you a position at the front. Now, that's the last thing I want. I would rather sit in the back corner where nobody can see me. But again, that's one of those humbling things where it means something to them. So that's what you do. And so I go up there, and I'm kind of on the stage like this, and the congregation's out here, and they're singing in Creole. The congregation is mainly Haitian. And so they speak Creole, and they're singing in Creole. I have no idea what they're saying or what they're singing, but it was such an amazing, kind of overwhelming sound. I'm sure in some way they were singing about the hope that we have in Jesus. And there was no the door on the church. Now they don't have legitimate doors or windows at this point. It's just kind of steel sheeting that they kind of lock together, and that was open. And I was looking out the back, It's like the most brilliant light from the sun that was coming down over, like you could look out and see over a sugarcane field. And it was such a beautiful scene. And then it just popped into my mind how many people have been abused or exploited from sugarcane. I mean, the people in these sugarcane villages, they make about enough money to exist where they are and nothing more. And such beauty, but then such devastation and ruin that has been brought on so many lives as a result of what man has used that beauty for. And again, I was looking out and I was just thinking about it again. This is a beautiful scene. And then one of the things they do down there, their garbage services are not great, and it's a level of irresponsibility, but they throw garbage everywhere. So I'm looking out at this beautiful scene, and I look down the roads right below it, and it's just covered in garbage. And again, this amazing, beautiful scene that God has created, but what has man done with it? But thrown garbage everywhere. And I wonder what... where do you find hope in a world like this? Because make no mistake, it's not just people in the Dominican Republic that throw garbage everywhere. I understand that we don't go out and literally throw garbage on the ground, but there are a lot of ways that even Americans take the beauty that God has created, and in a figurative sense, they throw garbage all over it. It's really not that different. Where do you find hope in a world like this? There's a man named John Lennox. He's an Oxford mathematician and great Christian apologist, and he refers to this as beauty in bombs or beauty in barbed wire, the way that this world is full of so much beauty, yet there's bombs dropped that brings about ruin, or you find so much barbed wire to try to keep people out or keep people into things and to control things. And what do you do in a world like this to find hope? Now, we know the answer is Jesus. There's no other hope for a world like this than Jesus. There's not. But specifically for what we are talking about today, what can I possibly say to somebody who has experienced a lifetime of oppression, somebody exploiting them to profit from sugarcane? What can I say to them? Or what can I say to the child that has spent their life being abused by people that were supposed to love them? I can't say anything to that person that's going to change them. I don't have any power to change that human heart that's been walked through so much devastation. I don't have words for that. Neither do you. And you see, this is why God said that his house would be a house of prayer, because he knows that if you were ever to live out his mission here on earth, we have no hope to accomplish that outside of a direct connection with God constantly. Because I need to hear from him. I have to. Because I don't have words to change those people. You probably have somebody else in your life that has experienced devastating things and you just don't know what to say to them. You need the Spirit of God to guide you. Because we in ourselves, in our human power, don't have the words to change those people. The only hope that you and I have is a direct connection, an intimate connection with God, being close to him, walking with him, hearing from him, learning to distinguish his voice, learning when to speak and when to keep our mouth closed. And that only happens in a direct connection to God. This is again why he said, my house will be a house of prayer for all nations. Because prayer is something that you and I can actually unite in with God together. And that is the connection, this intimate, deep relationship with God that builds over time, wherein I can begin to distinguish his voice in this world. And in that, then, you and I have hope to actually accomplish the purposes of God in the earth. Because you and I have to acknowledge that there are people around us that have been through those situations. They've been devastated in their lives. And they have no idea what to do or where to turn or where they can find any hope. And for people like that, answers like, well, you can be saved in Jesus and you can go to heaven. That's not sufficient for somebody whose heart has been devastated by years, sometimes decades of abuse. What happens, what is able to change another human's heart? Well, let's say it this way. When Moses was on the mountain praying to God, or meeting with God, he was meeting with God after the Israelites had rebelled. They were down in the camp. They had made an idol because they thought Moses was taking too long in the mountain. He goes up on the mountain before God, and he's asking God to relent in his anger. And God says, okay, I'll send you on to the land that I had promised you, but I'm not going to go with you. And Moses, in that moment, he said, if you will not go with us, do not send us up one step farther, because what else will distinguish us from anybody else on the face of the earth? He said, if you do not go with us, if your presence does not go with us, don't send us anywhere, because we have nothing then that will distinguish us from anyone else on the face of the earth. And in the same way today, you and I cannot take any step until we know that we are distinguished by the presence of God in our lives. Because we have nothing to offer anybody. I have nothing to offer anyone other than the presence of God in my life, somehow flowing through things that God speaks through us to other people. Somehow them experiencing this, the distinguishing power of God in our lives. That is what you and I have. We tell people about hope in the Lord. And for there to be substance behind that claim, they actually have to see that you are distinguished by something different. Something that transcends the hope of this world. And you see, we get to that point by a continuing, intimate, deep connection with God. And that begins and is established and founded in prayer. There is no easy way around that. The way to know God deeply, the foundational way, is to be a person of prayer that pursues Him. And you learn how, you struggle for it, you sacrifice for it, and you grow in it. Now, I had a lot of other things that I intended to say that I won't say because I said it would be 10 minutes. Now, before we introduce some other ideas, we're going to show you some things that you can actually do, some practical ways that you can actually do this, and some things we want our church to unite around. But one thing I want to say before that is, if maybe you're here today in this concept of prayer, you have no idea what I'm even talking about. You have no idea where to begin or what to do in that. Please come talk to us. One of the biggest hindrances for God's people is that sometimes we just won't ask questions. There's still times for me where I have to call people that know more than me, and I have to ask them questions. So please ask questions. I'm going to introduce one thing that we're going to do as a congregation, and one thing that I would like us to unite around, and then Mark's going to come and share something with us as well. So how many people have their smartphone with them? I know nobody's looking at it during the service while I'm talking. But it's okay, you can say that you have it now. Okay, Ryan, can you put up that first picture? If you go to your app store and you type in Bless app. So this is an app that what it does is it shows you the people around you. It shows you your neighbors by name, and it gives you the opportunity, it reminds you to be praying for them every day. There would be a thing, I've had this on my phone for a couple months now, and it will pop up every day and say, you have to, here are these five people that you're praying for today. And they're literally the names of your neighbors that are beside you and their address. Now, how they get this information, I have no idea. It's kind of creepy that they have all these people's information and their addresses. I understand that. But it's there. So we're going to use it to pray for people. So when you get into this app, you can put in your address and it will show you all the people around you. And again, as I said, there'll be five people that come up every day that it will be asking you to pray for. And then the next day there'll be another five people. And it'll keep cycling through the people that are around you in your neighborhood. Now, the first thing is, this is so important for us because sometimes we don't know how to share the gospel with other people. Now, first of all, that begins in prayer. You need to lay a foundation for things in prayer. Again, being directly connected to God, hearing from the Spirit of God, and pursuing God in prayer on behalf of other people. And a lot of times, we have people directly around us that we can share with, and we don't even know them. We have people that live directly beside us, and sometimes we don't even know their name. You see, the Word of God calls us to be salt and light in this world, that I would be a light. It's hard to be a light when you don't even know the names of the people around you, right? So this is what this does. It's something we rally around. We begin to pray for the people directly around us. Now, it also encourages you that at some point you would share your testimony with them, that you would share a meal with them, that you would do something to serve them. But it begins in prayer. And you can show that next picture. This is kind of the map that you would see in that app. This is mine. All the people in blue, it shows you, it's probably hard for you to see that, but all the people in blue are houses that I've already been praying for, and then it's like a pinkish kind of color, the ones that I have not gotten to yet. But that shows you all the people around my house. Now, we're going to... Out on the Connection Center table, there is a slip of paper that is, it's called the Bless Every Home Initiative. Now, that's asking for your name and your email address. And if you fill that out and you leave it back there for us, we have a way that we can connect all of our people in our congregation on this app so we can see on this map where everybody's at and the people that they're praying for. It's just a way of encouraging you to understand that there are other people that are doing what you're doing, that we're connected in this, and there are a lot of people that we're trying to build, create doors to be able to speak to them about Jesus. Everything that we do in sharing Jesus, again, begins in prayer, and this is one of the ways that we do that. Can you show the next picture there, Ryan? This is, again, there would be a name at the top there. I kind of scribbled out her address there, but again, this will show you kind of the encouragement to pray, to listen to them, to hear their story, to eat with them, to serve them, and to share your story with them. So if you fill out that paper, we will send you a link that will kind of link your device with everybody else in this app if you're interested in that. And this, again, is just simply a practical way to get yourself, give yourself reminders to be praying for the people directly around you every day and to be connected with other believers that are doing the same thing and to find encouragement in that. Now, if you do not have a smartphone, there's a line on that paper out in the Connection Center that you can kind of check and say, I don't have a smartphone or I don't know how to use this app, but I want to pray for my neighbors. If you check that box and turn that paper in to us, we will figure out a way to at least print off some of the names and things for you so you can take that home and pray for your neighbors directly. So please don't feel like if you don't want to use a smartphone or you don't have a smartphone, you can't do this. We will figure out a way to get you involved in that as well. Now, again, I'm encouraging, Mark, you can come up and we'll share what you have as well. I'm encouraging you today, again, as your pastor, that we need to unite around these things. We've got to be a house of prayer. It has to be something that we are defined by. This app isn't an answer to everything in as far as growing in prayer, but it is a big step in just being united together in that. It is one big step in that and an opportunity for us to grow in that. So I encourage you to please be a part of that. If you do it, please remember to do it daily. It'll take you 5 minutes to pray for your neighbors. What we need to do is to be spiritually engaged in our surroundings, because again, God has people directly around you in your neighborhood who need Jesus. And you are there. You are the one who is there. And God is wanting you to begin pursuing and creating doors to be able to speak to people about him. That begins in prayer. This is vital that we begin to do these things. This isn't the end of things that we're going to organize to grow in prayer, but this is one of the first things that we're going to do. Mark also has something he's going to come and share as well, another opportunity for us to unite in prayer.
Thank you, brother. So the elder board, we meet once a month in the lobby and take care of spiritual matters of the church. And we've talked for many meetings how we can be a church that serves our community. How can we reach out? How can we use what we have learned, what God has taught us, what we believe in? And so we have already launched a prayer ministry, an intentional prayer ministry into the community of Dundee, Ohio, which is about 3 miles north of here. And we want you to join us. And so back at the connection table, there's two papers that I'd like you to stop and be a part of. One is a picture of all of the firemen and first responders, EMS people, that serve our community. And these individuals are volunteers. So they're on call 24/7 when there's an emergency. They have said, I will go. If there's a fire, I will go. If there's an accident, an emergency, I will go and help. And I got to thinking about their mindset. If I asked you a question, what do servants do? What would you say? They serve, yes. And this group of 25 people have said, we will serve our community. And so the thought was, well, who helps them, supports them when they are on call? And so the thought is that we have them covered in prayer every day when they are called out. And I am going to their meetings and setting in and sharing with them that there is a church that loves them and cares about them, and that we're praying for them. And so there's a prayer card also that has their names on it that you could keep in your Bible. And this poster, if you want to put that on your refrigerator, that you can identify. But what the elder board has done, each one of us have selected a day that we will intentionally pray for the support of their outreach. My day is Thursday. If you want to pray every day, that would be great. But if you want to select a day that throughout the day, you might hear a siren, you might see a police car, you might see a fire truck. When you see that, that triggers something in you to say, Lord, please be near that immediate need. And then you would also say, and please remember the men and women in Dundee, Ohio, that are serving our community when there's an emergency. And so This is a prayer ministry. It's by faith. Amen. How many of you believe in prayer? How many of you believe God answers prayer? Amen. And I'm excited because there's around 300 souls north of us. Okay? They might not ever attend here. But God loves everybody, right? And we love everybody, right? And so we're going to, by faith, begin a prayer ministry. And as that develops, we're probably going to develop it to go around our entire community to begin praying. Because wouldn't it be wonderful when we're out in the community that someone would say, well, where do you go to church? Well, I attend Barr's Mill. Oh, that's the church that prays. Amen? Amen? So be excited. There's enough copies for everyone, so I'll be in the back. If you have questions, you can talk to me. But I would encourage you to be a part of that.
I just want to encourage you with this one final thing. Colossians 4:2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Now the word continue in the Greek language means to be earnest towards, to persevere, to be constantly diligent, to adhere closely. So what he is saying there is, be earnest towards, persevere, and be constantly diligent or adhere closely in to God in prayer, and watch in that in thanksgiving. In English Standard Version says it this way. It says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Again, you don't have to wonder what God's will is for you. You don't have to wonder what God's will is for you. He wants you to be a person who is diligent and steadfast in prayer. Again, as we talked a couple months ago, 1 Thessalonians says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks. This is God's will for you in Jesus. He tells you exactly what his will is for you. And again, Jesus said, my house will be a house of prayer. Again, these are some foundational ways that we can begin to rally around these things together as the body of Christ. There's I think it was A.W. Tozer or maybe Leonard Ravenhill said that prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. And sometimes, especially in our American culture, we want to see results now, and it's something that I have to work towards with my hands. God wants us to be in his presence and then guide us into his work in the people directly around us where we are. This church is right here. Dundee's right up the road. We're already here. There's no reason to not be praying for those people right up the road. And there's no reason for us in our homes to not be praying for the people that are directly around you. Be praying for them that God would move in their hearts, that he would open their hearts. The praise team can come up as we begin to close. Be praying that God would help them to see the hope that is in them. Be praying if they're believers, that God would encourage them. But also be praying for the boldness and confidence that when God opens a door, that you would be willing to walk through it. You see, what is necessary for the people of God is for us to be spiritually engaged in our surroundings. I think so many times we miss what God wants to do because we're just not looking for it. We're just not aware. We're just not, we don't have our eyes open. God wants you to be spiritually engaged in your surroundings, and you can be sure that he will open doors then for you to share with others the great hope that you have in Jesus. Father, we thank you today for your goodness and your love. We thank you for Jesus and all that he's done and provided for us here in the earth, the great hope that he has provided for us. We pray that we would be people who would have a desperation to share that with others so that they would know that hope that we have. And Father, help us to understand that that begins in prayer. We have no power in ourselves, but all that we have is what comes from you. So, Father, people, teach us to be people that are of great courage, spiritually engaged in our surroundings with the desire to see our friends, our neighbors, our family, to see you do as your word says, immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. Father, we love you today. It is in your name we pray. Amen. If you please.